What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is article of the week number 8, and this article is titled, Is Glyphosate Toxic to Bees? And you can find this article on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. This is something we haven't touched on specifically in the past. We've talked about glyphosate a million times. Like, me and Tom are both not fans of it. It's a herbicide that is, I mean, the biggest herbicide on the planet, so it's sprayed on everything from wheat, corn, soy, every monocrop you can think of. Even a lot of the times you see people kind of spraying pesticides, you see them like on the side of the highways or like in between like stores where bushes are. 90% of the time it's going to be glyphosate just because it's so prevalent. And yeah, do you want to touch on that real quick? We're not fans of this herbicide at all.
Yeah, that's kind of putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another name for glyphosate would be Roundup. So if you were to go buy it in the store, that's most likely what you would see it as. People use that on their front yards, their lawn, their home gardens. People are using glyphosate / Roundup basically everywhere, and it is toxic to everything. So the title of this one is, Is Glyphosate Toxic to Bees? I mean, we could explain this in one word. The answer is yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't toxic to these very small insects, then they wouldn't use it.
It'd be a like, shit pesticide, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. No, that's such a... Yeah, I mean, do we really need to have a study done to answer this question? No. Like, obviously, like, if it didn't affect bees, it'd be a shit product. And the reason people use it, because it works, and there's definitely people out there that are pro glyphosate and they have their reasons, like farmers. And I've seen various arguments out there. So I don't think it's kind of tricky. I don't think the use of glyphosate is 100% black and white. I think there are some areas out there that it can be used in, but it's not the way it's used nowadays is so pervasive. It's just like, it's used like a blanket over everything. And I think that's a problem. And it's so heavily sprayed on things like wheat and corn, and those products come straight from the field to your house or to the grocery store, and a lot of them are still carrying around that glyphosate, and that's a problem. That's like our main route of ingestion. A lot of people think it's from like, oh, it's from corn-fed beef and all that type of stuff, but that's not true. It's really coming from the plant kingdom. It's our main source of glyphosate contamination. This podcast isn't actually going to be on glyphosate that much or Roundup that much. What I really wanted to touch on was the bee population and the great collapse, because I don't think this topic is enough to do a full podcast on. Like, I don't want to talk about bees for an hour because I just don't care that much. But this is a big deal. Like, me and Tom have talked about soil quality in the past and how it's not a sexy topic. People don't talk about it enough, but it's a big deal. Because when our soil quality goes, or when it gets very bad, we're all going to notice it. And I think the great bee collapse that's happening right now is another kind of topic that's not very sexy. It's kind of confusing. There are no kind of great answers for it. But when all these bees die, it's going to be a problem because bees do so much. So that's really what I want this article to be on, or this podcast to be on, excuse me, because bees are super important. And people just don't know that, right? Like, what they pollinate, it affects pretty much our whole food system.
I don't know if people don't appreciate it or people don't like bees, because most people are afraid of bees because, hey, they do sting you and it does hurt. So I get it. People are not a big fan of bees, but I don't think they understand how important they are for our food supply, because they do pollinate all sorts of plants that turn into our food. So without these bees, like, plants won't be able to reproduce, and like that will drastically change our food supply, and it'll have a very, very negative impact.
Huge.
Like, there's a lot of limiting factors when it comes to our food supply. Soil health isn't just one of them. These plants need to be pollinated, and if bees, the number one pollinator in Northern America, go extinct, that's going to be a big, big problem.
Huge problem. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm glad you worded it that way, because I agree. So I just want to touch on real quick kind of a few facts on bees, a few stats on bees that I don't think a lot of people know. And it just shows how important they are, and this great bee collapse is happening. So basically, bees are dying at a very, very crazy rate, and an increased rate, and people weren't really sure why. And I guess that's why they did this study, because glyphosate sprayed on everything, and they're thinking, is this one of the reasons why bees are dying? And I think it is. And just to touch on some of the numbers, so between October 1st, 2018 and April 1st, 2019, 37% of the managed honeybee population died. So, like, we're not talking 5% death, 10% death. That's almost 40% dead. That's a huge problem.
And in, like, only 6 months. That's a very short time
span. That's not even a year. That's not, yeah, exactly. So, and like Tom said, honeybees are essential for pollinating flowers, fruits, vegetables, a lot of things you don't consider, things like watermelons, apples, peppers, cucumbers, nuts. Think of all the almonds, like almond milk is very popular these days. Without bees, you're not getting your almond milk. And that's just a fact. Bees are kind of just shipped around the whole country and used to pollinate these things. And U.S. crops are produced with the help of 2.6 million colonies of bees transported across the nation during pollinating, like, season to help with the pollination. And of the $20 billion worth of U.S. crop production supported by pollinators, commercial honeybees are responsible for about half of that. And then wild bees and other pollinators take care of the rest. In February, about 60% of managed colonies head to California to begin almond production. And this is, almonds are just in favor these days. Like, it's just very popular. They're promoted kind of as a health food. Not saying they're completely terrible for you, because they're not. But almonds are kind of free. In the low-carb world, people like almonds. In the plant-based world, people like almonds. So almond production and almond just consumption has exploded recently. And if you hear about, like, water consumption, almond trees are very water intensive. You need a ton of water, and that's a problem, obviously, in places like California, where there's been a drought for a very long time. But almond just production uses a ton of bees as well. Like I said, 60% of the managed colonies are needed to produce or support almond production. After that, a lot of these bees go to Florida. And what is Florida known for? Oranges. So that requires the bees as well, like, to pollinate all the citrus crops. And then they go to the southeast to help with blueberries, cherries, and other, like, specialty fruits and vegetables. And, you know, we like our blueberries and, like, you know, fruits like that. We don't think about bees when we're eating those.
Yeah, we don't think about bees when we think about any of these foods, really.
Yeah, that's true, right? I don't think people are supporting, and I don't know how like, vegan, quote-unquote, almonds are, when without bees, you're not getting your almonds. You know, I don't think vegans really think of that. And then, again, like, apples, like, they go to the Northeast in June to support apple, all that stuff, apple production. And then for, like, several months, they kind of go ship back to their home places where they just produce honey. So bees are worked all year round. If they're not pollinating stuff, they're producing honey. If all these bees die, if the great bee, like, collapse happens, you know, to a point where we can't recover, we're all going to feel this hurt. This is even people, someone like me, who I'm not, like, a strict carnivore. Like, I don't eat just beef all the time. I will supplement with, like, blueberries, or it's just berries in general, and other, like, fruit products here and there. Like, if I don't have those, all that trickles down to everybody. I don't think there's enough beef in the world for everyone just to eat beef.
Yeah, not at all. And, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, bees are the number one pollinator, but there are other ones. But all the other ones are going to be at threat from glyphosate as well, because they're usually small insects like flies and beetles, or like something like a wasp, or something a little bit bigger like a bird or a bat. But these birds we're talking about are small ones, talking about like those little hummingbirds and stuff like that. They'll be at danger from either not having other foods to eat, stuff like, you know, bugs and stuff like that, but also glyphosate can impact these birds and these bats as well. So, yeah, bees go, like, I don't really think there's anything else that can kind of rise up and replace it.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. And I think, what do they call, like, a keystone, keystone species? Does that make sense to you? Does that mean anything to you?
I know what you're talking about, where it, if that one goes, like, the entire ecosystem goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they have a much bigger impact than other foods in the same ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's keystone species or not, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think, like, I forget the little fishes now, maybe called krill, I forget, but they're like a keystone species in the oceans because that's what the whales feed on, it's what the dolphins feed on, all that stuff. So, like, if all the dolphins died, it would suck, but it wouldn't collapse a population. But if all the krill died, and I think it's krill, so don't, like, quote me 100%, then the whole population dies, all the whales, all the dolphins, all that stuff. So bees are in that category. If they go down, it affects everything. It doesn't just affect bees. And whenever I see conversations about the great bee collapse, no one seems to talk about herbicides or pesticides, things like Roundup. But to me, that's so obvious. And I think that's why I pulled this article, just because there is evidence out there that it does affect bees in a negative way. So I don't know. Hopefully just people understand where their food comes from, get a little more educated on it, and appreciate bees more, and know how bad Roundup is. You know, like, don't spray it if you can. Like, there's other natural ways, there's other natural pesticides and herbicides out there that can get the job done.
I'm glad you brought up the article again, because in this article it does mention that, like, the evidence on glyphosate killing bees is controversial. Like, there's a lot of studies saying that it's harmful, there's a lot of studies saying that it's not, and I was just kind of amazed. I was like, of course it is. Like, if it wasn't harmful to the bees, they wouldn't be using it, because then it wouldn't be effective at all. So it just kind of just goes to show you how much money and how much power Monsanto and makers of glyphosate really have, if they're able to influence the science so much.
Oh, yeah. They just want to muddy the waters. They just want to make it a little bit kind of, well, I don't know, like, make that indecision out there. But like Tom said, if you just think of it logically, it's obvious that a pesticide and an herbicide designed to kill little insects that eat plants would hurt bees. Like, I don't, that's not a logical leap.
Yeah, like, that's what it was designed to do. So of course it does that.
Yeah, of course it does that. Yeah. All right, do you want to add anything else to it, or you think that's good?
No, I think that's a good place to end it.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's the article of the week this week. Again, you can find it on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Leave us 5 stars. We'll greatly appreciate that. You can find us basically anywhere podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.